Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Say hi to the people up in the youth room. We, as I said last week, we've got a few of our folks are allergic to poinsettias. Not a real great time of year to be in our sanctuary. So we're upstairs. We welcome you guys and pray that the Lord is present up there as he is with us down here. Galatians chapter 3, verse 23. He's speaking of the Christian faith, the faith in Jesus Christ. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Have you been baptized with Christ? Guess what? You've been clothed with Christ. Isn't that good news? There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I want to stop there for just a second. Heirs according to the promise, and there were several promises that God made to Abraham, but basically he said that I will be your God and you will be my people. So we're heirs to that promise that we will be his people. And he said that he promised Abraham that he would bless him and his people through the lineage of David. And we know that now that is Jesus. Picking it up, continuing there in verse 1 of chapter 4. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Pray that you would speak to us with truth, but very clearly this morning, Father. Help us to understand the truth of your word. Speak in power and authority and change us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm concluding the sermon series that we've done. If you've missed, Heaven Sent is the sermon series. If you've missed the first 3 weeks, I encourage you to either get a CD or DVD or to go on our website and to catch up with those. Heaven Sent, the first week we talked about Mary, her first Christmas, and then the next week we talked about Joseph, his first Christmas. Last week, Simeon, which I hope that if you were here last week that you learned who Simeon was, if you didn't know, and learned a little bit about the significance of his story today. God's First Christmas. May sound like a strange title, but I hope it'll make a little more sense here in a little while. God's First Christmas. If you've been here for very long, you've heard me tell the story of my mud swallow. But I'm going to tell it again this morning because some of you haven't heard it and because it illustrates so well what I think God would have us to hear this morning. A few years ago, Cheryl and I, we lived here in the city and there's a mud swallow. And they are the birds that they build their nest out of mud and grass and so forth, and they build it up under the eaves. You'll see them under overpasses. And if you go out to Camp Buttman, if you ever go out to Camp Buttman, there's like mud swallow heaven. I mean, there's mud swallow nests all over the place out there. But we had this tiny little entrance area into our house was basically just wide enough for the door to fit. And this mud swallow built their nest right above the door. Now, as mud swallows do, as I guess most creatures do, they made a mess. And we're talking serious mess, okay? They relieved themselves on my front porch. And there was a lot of relieving done right there in front of my door. Now, I didn't ever catch one in the head as I was going through, but you had to step over the mud swallow mess to get into the house. So it wasn't a good place for their nest. And so I was trying to think, how do we get rid of the mud swallow? And all sorts of things went in my mind. I thought, I'm going to get a water hose when they're not in the nest, and I'm going to break, you know, I'm a cruel guy. I'm going to break down their nest with a water hose. So I broke down their nest with a water hose, I thought that was my daughter there for a minute because she's the animal lover in our house. But I broke down their nest because would you, Dev? Now, come on now. You would have just stepped over the stuff. Okay. Well, unfortunately, being the mean guy that I am, I broke down the nest with the water hose. Well, a few days later, guess what? We have a new nest in the exact same spot. They were determined that was going to be their home. Yeah. If you missed that, she said they're smarter than me. I'm not going to challenge that at all. So finally, they built this nest again. One day, as I was trying to figure out what to do with this mud swallow, I opened the door, was going into the house, stepping over the stuff, and the mud swallow went in the house.
Oh, no.
Are you into it, Kenley? Can you see it? So the mud swallow is now in the house. And we had this living room with 12-foot ceilings just in the living area. And so they got in the living room in this raised area of the ceiling. And it just flew around. And I had brooms. And I'm trying to herd this mud swallow with two brooms. I'm literally trying to herd the mud swallow out the door. Could not do it. And so, yes, Dev, finally I went and got my pellet gun. Now, it's going to have a good ending. I went and got my pellet. It was me or the mud swallow. Somebody had to go. So I went and got my pellet gun, and of course Cheryl is frantically, "Don't kill the mud swallow! Don't kill the mud swallow!" And I'm like, "What are we gonna do? I can't get him out!" And so I'm cocking the pellet gun. It's fixed to be all over. You see, death awaited the mud swallow. He didn't know it, but he had death in his future. Now, right before I resorted to the last measure, Cheryl thought of an idea. It was at night, and she turned on the porch light and turned all the lights off in the house. She's smarter than I am, if you hadn't figured that out. And we opened the door, and the mud swallow flew to freedom, flew to the light. You know, something very significant, church, happened 2,000 years ago. Just a little over 2,000 years ago. Did you know that? You know, this was so significant that even time itself is marked with that event. And I've told you this before, but you know, we have B.C., the things that happened before Christ, the calendar. So we have, you know, B.C., and we have... I'm going to try to pronounce it. Anno Domini is A.D., which means the year of our Lord. So you and I are in the year of our Lord, 2011. Now, what other event has so marked history that even our calendar, Christian, non-Christian, Jew, non-Jew, for everyone that refers to a date on the calendar, goes back to the birth of our Lord. Isn't that awesome? And I'll tell you, and I've said this before as well, but at Duke there's a new thing that they're the the world of academics is, I guess, pressing this, where now it's no longer B.C. before Christ, it's B.C.E. before Common Era. So when we learn dates in school and so forth, we're supposed to refer to it as B.C.E. before Common Era. And then instead of A.D., it's C.E., Common Era. Well, I want to tell you, I didn't ever turn in a paper with those terms on it. It was B.C. and A.D. for me. And if they wanted to fail me, that's just fine and dandy. But I refuse to take the Lord out. If it's been there for 2,000 years, I refuse to take the Lord out of our calendar system. Something significant happened. Now, I want you to just stay with me for just a second. In Matthew chapter 1, it speaks, and I preached on this a couple of weeks ago, it speaks of Jesus was Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, I want you to stay with me here. God is holy and just and righteous and perfect. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. He's the creator of all things. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's omnipresent, which means he is everywhere at all time. He is omnipotent, which means he knows everything. He knows what we're thinking. But before the first Christmas morning, did you know that God had never been one thing? Flesh. I want that to sink in for just a minute. As vast and as powerful and as mighty as God is, he had never been flesh. You know, I remember that swallow. I was just thinking, if I could just be a swallow for 30 seconds. And I would fly beside him and I would say, you need to leave because death awaits you. You have death in your future. You have death in your present. You need to fly to the light. You need to get out. You need to be saved. God himself, God with us, Emmanuel. God had never been flesh. That just has rattled my cage in the last couple of weeks as I've thought about that. I never thought about God not being something before because he's everything. But he had never been his own creation. And yet, he found himself becoming flesh and dwelling among us. John chapter 1. Read John chapter 1. It's an awesome chapter of the Bible. John chapter 1. It speaks of God becoming flesh. The God himself coming and becoming flesh and dwelling among us. You know, why don't we find ourselves in need of God to become flesh, of God becoming man himself? Why do we find ourselves in need? The basic gospel is that we found ourselves, and we kind of want to put it on Adam and Eve, but really and truly, I've said this before, if we were there, it would have been the same results. Adam and Eve found themselves in paradise in complete harmony with God and with one another. But the problem came in when God gave them choice. God loved us enough to give us choice, free will. And we all know that Adam and Eve messed up. They chose rebellion to God, disobedience to him, and we call that sin. Well, God's word tells us, and God told Adam and Eve, he said, if you do this one thing that I've asked you not to do, then you will surely die. You will be cut off from me. Sin, I'm a holy God, is what he was basically saying. I'm a holy God. And when you choose sin, you have disassociated yourself with me. Sin came in and ruined everything. Death followed. It severed our relationship with this holy God, and it was the consequence of sin. And you and I have inherited this condition. It's in our DNA. Before we are able to consciously choose any action on our own, we have inherited this sinful DNA. It's in us. The law, it says, was given to make us aware of our sin, to make us aware of our need for a Savior. But the law just couldn't get her done, as one of my favorite theologians says, Larry the Cable Guy. It just couldn't get her done. The law made us aware of sin. It made us conscious of our need for a Savior, but we just cannot carry it out. The law makes us conscious of our sin. We needed a Savior. And the thing is that we needed God to become flesh under the law. We needed that law fulfilled. Are you staying with me? Shake your head if you're still awake. We needed this law fulfilled that God had given us that we were unable to do in our flesh. So God Himself became flesh to take care of it for us. I want to look at beginning in the fourth chapter, the fourth verse. I want to begin looking at this scripture a little closer. And the first thing that I want us to look at is very clearly is that Jesus was born under the law. You know, everything as Jesus was born, they began to fulfill the law. Now we know that he was completely God, Emmanuel, God with us, God made flesh to dwell among us. We understand that in his DNA was God. But also, he says that he was born of Mary, of flesh, and he was born under the law. So he was completely man and he was completely God. That kind of, don't struggle with that too much or smoke will start coming out your ears. We don't completely grasp that, but we understand that somehow Jesus was completely God and was completely man. Listen to verse 4. When the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. God sent his son, meaning, and we read earlier, and we've talked about it the last few weeks, is that Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit. God himself sired Jesus. But we also understand that he was born born of a woman. And we know that Jesus was circumcised. You think Jesus needed to be circumcised to be holy? That was the law of the nation of Israel, is that the child, I believe, is on the eighth day, they had to be circumcised. Then sometime after that, they had to be blessed. We talked about that last week with Simeon. So all of these things of the law that Jesus is fulfilling, we understand that he was born under the law, just like who? You and I. And we read other places in Scripture where it says that nothing we struggle with, nothing that we come against, Jesus hasn't already handled. He hasn't already faced it, and he hasn't already conquered it. Somehow that encourages me. I don't know if it encourages you, but it encourages me. Earlier in Galatians, right before we started reading, it says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Do you see that the necessity why God himself had to become flesh under the law? Second thing I want us to look at a little closer. He came under the law to redeem those under the law. Verse 5. He came under the law to redeem those under the law. Who's under the law? You and I. So who did he come to redeem? You and I. Redeem is, I like that word. He came to redeem those under the law. This redeem is, one way to look at that is to set free by paying a price. And as I was studying this week, I was studying about the time, the biblical times when Paul was writing this letter. And, slavery was very rampant in the Roman Empire. They estimate that there was approximately 60 million slaves at the time that Paul wrote this letter. Now, so you could, just about any place you went, you could purchase a slave. It was common practice. Now, you could purchase the slave to keep them enslaved or to set them free. Christ came and he's redeemed us. He's purchased us at a price, not to keep us enslaved, but to set us free. Isn't that good news, church?
Amen.
Third thing I want us to look at from this scripture. So that we, so he was born under the law to redeem those under the law so that we might become sons or heirs of God. Now this is, stay with me, this is going to be a little complicated to understand, but if let's say you were living back in this time, biblical time, and you were a very, very rich family, and you were a rich man that had great wealth to leave to his child, but he had a son, but the son was a baby. Son was a small infant. Well, they actually had slaves that tended to the children. Now, if the man that had the great wealth, if he died and left his estate to this small child, the child would not receive the inheritance until it became a man, a son, no longer an infant, but a son. It would not be truly an heir until it had reached maturity, and then it would have full rights of son, of the son. Now, when we speak of sons, ladies, I don't want you to. This is not a gender thing. It's the way it's referred to. But if you look back, we just read that in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, or slave or free, nor male or female. So we're not talking, this is not a gender-specific thing. So you would have to be, the son, even if it was an infant, it would have to be cared for until it could receive the full rights of a son. Listen to verse 5. He came to redeem those under the law that we might receive the full rights of sons. Verse 7, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. And it goes on to say in verse 29, if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We are now heirs. We have inherited the full rights and privileges of being a son of the Most High. Are you with me? I know that's a little bit hard to stay with me through all of that. All of you who have been baptized in Christ, have received Christ through faith, you have been clothed with Christ himself. You are now his sons, you are now his heir. And you have full privileges and rights as the heir to the Most High God. All because Jesus became flesh. God Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus became flesh. Listen to verse 4 again. And this is very interesting. I found these two, to contrast these two verses. At verse 4 it says, when the time had fully come, God sent his son. So it was for such a time as this. The time was right. It was exactly when it was supposed to happen. God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. And in Romans, The adult Jesus, later in his life, he goes to the cross for us. And he truly carries it out. He fully does redeem us, all of those under the law. And listen to Paul in Romans. He says, you see, at just the right time, there it is again. He was born at just the right time. He died and was resurrected at just the right time. At just the right time when we were still powerless. See, we were still infected by this condition of sin. He didn't say, go clean yourself up, go get your act together, and then come back and talk to me. At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Are you ungodly outside of Christ? Anybody besides me? He's talking about us. He's talking about us. You ever felt powerless? You ever felt ungodly? He's talking about us. At just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There was a time that Jesus came, that God became flesh and dwelt among us. There was a time that he went to the cross and he paid for our sins and he redeemed his people. And now he calls us sons and daughters of Christ. And we have clothed ourselves with Christ. And guess what? God's word says he's coming again. Amen. Do you think that's going to be at just the right time? You think it's going to be too early or too late? Or maybe just at the right time? He's coming. In the meantime, he has called us his sons and his daughters. He has given us the estate that he has set aside for us. C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite theologians, one of my favorite writers, says, "The Son of God became a man to enable men to become the sons of God." I'll read that again. C.S. Lewis, man. You gotta love him. "The Son of God became a man to enable men to become the sons of God. When the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights as sons." Let's pray. Father, we can never repay the debt we owe you. We thank you that you loved enough. You loved us enough that you didn't just sit up on high and look down and go, those poor people, lost and broken, facing death. You came to us. You came to us. You chose to become a man and dwell among us. You chose to become your own creation. And we praise you for that. We thank you for that choice. And we thank you that through faith, by grace, we are saved. We thank you for that coming as that tiny little baby to redeem your people and to adopt us into your family. Father, don't let us overlook that this season. Don't let us get wrapped up in the parties and the stuff, the presents and the meals and the ball games and all the stuff that distracts us. Don't let us forget that you loved us enough to become flesh. We pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. If you would stand as we close this morning. I'm going to be down front if you'd like to come and speak with me about anything, about accepting Christ, about just if you'd like for me to pray with you, anything at all. I'll be down front. Thank you.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know. Just
We're a redeemed people. Go and tell someone. In Jesus' name, Merry Christmas.
Oh, no, you never let me.